The words of God given to us today are in Matthew chapter 1 from verse 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to her son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. First of all, may the grace and peace of Christmas be filled with all of you and your family. Today's scripture is the testimony on the conception of Jesus Christ. Let's read verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. There was a woman called Mary in Nazareth, a poor town of Galilee. She was never married. Mary was the fiancée of Joseph. One day, Mary became pregnant. It was not done by her fiancé Joseph. It has nothing to do with him. Since he thought that Mary's pregnancy was the result of her adultery, he decided to break off his engagement with her. Because Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he decided to break his engagement off quietly. Even if break-off was inevitable fact, he didn't want to unnecessarily hurt Mary once he dearly loved. When he was observed in thinking about it, he fell asleep and dreamt. It is that verse 19, 20, 21. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." The angel appeared in his dream and let him know that Mary conceived Jesus Christ, the Savior, by the Holy Spirit. She didn't commit the adultery. It was the first and the last transcendental incident in the human history. What would you do if you are in his shoes? Your fiancé became pregnant unknowingly. Then an angel showed up in your dream and said, "Your fiancé didn't commit any adultery and she is pregnant with the child from God by the power of Holy Spirit." What would you do? Angel didn't show up in front of you. He just showed up in your dream. In that case, you think that it's a silly dream. You would proceed with your original plan. However, Joseph was different. Verse 24-25, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph believed what the angel said and accepted pregnant Mary with a baby with her without any doubt. When the time came, she gave birth to a son. Joseph named him Jesus as the angel instructed him in his dream. It was what happened about 30 years ago when Entertainers Church, the predecessor of Artist Church now, was about to start. A Bible study was in progress under the guidance of Evangelist Ha Yong-jo, now the pastor of Onuri Church, at the house of a famous comedian, Mr. Gu Bong-seo. They discussed on the same verses we are looking at today. One of the participants persistently asked questions to Evangelist Ha, such as, how could a virgin be conceived with the baby alone? Isn't it nonsense even when the power of the Holy Spirit is considered? How could Joseph accept his unfaithful fiancé even with the babies with her? Isn't it unrealistic? And so on. The Bible study couldn't be continued because of his endless questions. Mr. Gu, unable to hold himself anymore, said to him like this, well, her husband says okay. What is your business in this matter? What a witty remark. Joseph accepted this situation with faith, which can't be accepted even by a man with no relation to Joseph living on the opposite side of the earth after 2,000 years now. Could it be possible with his determination and decision only? Could Joseph have accepted Mary without any doubt if Virgin Mary's conception of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit had not been God's providence? There is more. It was when Mary and her husband Joseph visited Jerusalem temple to do purification for baby Jesus following the Jewish tradition. The prophet Simeon recognized baby Jesus and told Mary that a sword will pierce your own soul. Romphaya, used in the original Bible, means a big sword soldiers use in wars. Mary will suffer a great pain as if a big sword mangles her heart, according to Simeon. In a word, Mary, the mother of Jesus, will be Mater Dolorosa, the mother of sorrow. Mary must have been very happy because of Jesus, whom she gave birth to
공생애를 시작하신 뒤부터
But as he started his public life, she was never be able to have peace on her mind.
태로 낳은 예수님이 유대교 지도자들의 끊임없는 모함과
She had to watch her son condemned and threatened to be killed by Jewish leaders every time. She finally had to face the moment of feeling her heart being mangled by a big sword. John 19:25 testifies that Mary was at the very site of pain where Jesus was crucified on the cross. When he was flogged by the Roman soldiers, pieces of his flesh were come off from his back and chest. His whole body was covered with blood. When his hands and feet were nailed on the cross, his whole body bounced up painfully like a fish on the cutting board. Finally, Jesus passed away in pain. A soldier speared his side, and his blood and body fluid were drained completely. Jesus, who suffered this terrible pain in front of Mary, was not anybody else but her son, whom she gave birth to from her own womb, fed him with her breast, and raised him in her arms. Didn't she have any maternal instinct? Did she? Isn't it universal maternal instinct that you push your kids away when your kids playing on the railroad and got killed? Then, shouldn't Mary save her son dying before her? Wasn't she desperate to save him? Was she? The charge of crime Jewish leaders and Pilate came up with to lead Jesus to death on the cross was calling himself the Son of God. In other words, it was a blasphemy. Since the young of a dog is dog and the young of a human is human, calling himself Son of God means that Jesus himself is God. Because Jesus said he is the Son of God, he was flogged to have all his body covered with blood and his flesh torn. And because Jesus said he is the Son of God, he had to be crucified. And because Jesus said he is the Son of God, he had to suffer the indignity of being speared even after death. All this appalling sight happened before Mary. Mary was Jesus' womb mother. Mary was Jesus' mother with maternal instinct. Then, one word from Mary could have stopped all the sufferings of Jesus. Jesus is not the Son of God. Jesus is my Son. if Jesus kept insisting that he was the Son of God, Mary could have shouted out, "Everybody, my son Jesus is a psycho. Jesus' father is such such and not God. How can my son, who I gave birth to be the Son of God, please feel pity for this crazy man?" And this could have stopped Jesus' suffer of death. However, Mary just watched Jesus' suffering to the extent to repress her maternal instinct and to bear the pain of mangled heart. Hearts with a big sword until his son passed away on the cross. Although Mary gave birth to Jesus from her own womb, fed him with her breast, and raised him in her arms, Jesus was not her son. Mary herself clearly knew that Jesus is the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, even if nobody knew about it. Thus, there is no better evidence that Jesus is the Son of God than the fact that Jesus did not fall from the sky but had a natural mother, and that the very mother did not hold her son back at all at the sight of his crucifixion, saying, "Are you out of your mind to say you are the Son of God?" Hence, today's verses 22-23 testify as follows. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Jesus, who came to this world 2,000 years ago in human body through Mary, is the Holy Son, Emmanuel, who came to be with us. He wants to be with us. He came here through the humble body of man. It is Jesus, born in a manger in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, who God assumed human body and came to this earth to be with us. Every religion in this world is an endless journey of man seeking God. Thus, man has to go on the endless journey of seeking the truth. However, Jesus, Emmanuel God, came to the history of man himself through the body of Mary. Also, by being the sacrificial offering on the cross to pay the price of our sins, he became the eternal path to life from death, to eternity from instance, to light from darkness, and to salvation from judgment. Thus, we came to live a new life, a living life of eternity through that path. Isn't Jesus Emmanuel God? Then, wouldn't it have been simple if he had just came down straight from heaven to earth? Instead of going through the troublesome process of being born from Mary's womb, by being born of Mary, a human being, and what is more, a poor person of Galilee with no possession and knowledge, he showed himself that he is the Lord present to all human beings as life. Because Jesus was born of humble Mary, he now presents himself as the Lord of life among us and leads us to the way of heaven, life, eternity, light and salvation, the very way he solidified through his death on the cross and his resurrection. As the people to know the eternal meaning and value of the way, on this very Christmas of today, we cannot praise the sacred birth of Jesus enough, even if we have thousands of mouths. As you may know, I attended the 30th anniversary of Dubai Korean Church last month. Deacon Jaechul Lee, who has the same name as mine, also came all the way to Dubai with his wife from Kuwait, where he's currently working. He told me a story of what he experienced in Kuwait. Mr. Lee happened to have a dinner with a Kuwaiti who had been doing business with for a long time. The Kuwaiti friend was, of course, a Muslim. Since the two talked frankly with each other, Mr. Lee asked him whether it is not difficult to observe the Islamic laws every time, including praying five times a day. He answered that it was, of course, very difficult. And when Mr. Lee asked back why then he would observe the laws, he answered it was because he wanted to receive as much blessing from God to reach the heaven. Mr. Lee asked again, "So, if you die, then where will you go?" Surprisingly, he replied that it was pretty clear that he would go to hell. When asked for the reason, he answered that it was because he had more sins, no matter how hard he tried to obey the laws. In the answer of the Kuwaiti, who was a faithful Muslim, "I could glance at the limit of a religion without a savior who pays for the price of human sins instead. Where there are only strict laws, without a savior, there is no salvation but mass of sinners." After all the programs were finished in Dubai, I went to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, with my wife. Unlike Dubai, which plays the role of the free harbor of Islamic world and bears no much difference from the Western world, Saudi Arabia, the suzerain state of the Muslim, was totally different in all aspects. From our arrival at the Riyadh airport, my wife had to wear abaya, an outer garment made from black cloth, known as chador to us. Even when a foreign woman didn't hide her head and body with abaya, a religious police, mutawa, will whip her with the switch. Wherever you go in Riyadh, you can't see any woman on the street. Since there is a law that forbids women from walking on the street alone, women can't drive. Women can't sell anything. So even salesperson at women's underwear store was a man. A woman was not allowed to enter a restaurant or a coffee shop. Only men could sit in the hall. When a woman was accompanied by her family, she had to go into the family section with a separate gate with her family. I went into the family section at Starbucks with my wife. Even in that segregated section from the hall, every table had a curtain drawn so that different families could not face each other. The speaker sound telling the prayer time five times a day covered the street unfailingly. It was for observing laws. In one word, it was a world where laws tie up human beings. In other words, human beings were slaves of the laws. People did not obey the laws because they were first saved, but obeyed the laws to be saved. They did not receive salvation through the blessing of God, but had to earn salvation through their own merits for God. They did not reach God through the help of a Savior, but had to reach God on their own. During the 3 nights and 4 days that I was there, the words of Deacon Lidetter's Kuwaiti friend did not stop ringing in my ears. The words of the Islamic believer who confessed that he's sure to go to hell even though he prays five times a day and live according to the law to obtain the grace of God so that he can go to heaven because he has committed too much sins. Don't we, as human beings, know human beings only too well? How could a man who has a sinful nature could come to God through his own achievements under the law? Therefore, the 3 nights and 4 days that I stayed in Saudi Arabia, were days of deep emotion where I deeply thanked my Savior, Jesus, who came to me, a dirty sinner, and led me to the road to eternal life and deliverance. If Jesus had not made the road to God and led me to that road of redemption with his precious blood shed on the cross in order to atone for my sins, it is only too clear that I too would be mourning under the yoke of the law in order to arrive at God with my own strength. While I was staying in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, during the 3 days, three nights and 4 days, I keenly realized that how precious it is to have a Savior who died for me. Beloved brothers and sisters, there is a Savior for us. There is a Savior who died as a sacrifice on the cross for us to pay for our sins for us. Our sins, the wage of which is said to be death before we even became conscious of our sins. There is a Savior for us who, before we knew him, broke death apart and lived again and thereby made the road of eternal life and redemption for us so that we can come to God. There is a Savior for us who, before we ask for his help, came to our hearts and led us to that road of eternal life and redemption that he made for us. He has already completed redemption on the cross. He has saved us, and he has set us free from sin, death, and judgment of the law. And he is helping us with his words and light of the truth so that we can walk that road of eternal life and redemption. He is Jesus Christ who is now with us. If he had not extended his hands of deliverance to us first, there is no way that we would be sitting here as Christians, free from sin, death, and judgment of the law, that we want to trust him with all of our hearts and to follow his words is not to obtain salvation. Rather, because he has already given us salvation, we do so in order not to waste away our lives in vain, but to live lives in which we are filled with true life as Christians who have been saved. Today, is Christmas, in which commemorate his coming into the history of man through Mary 2,000 years ago for us. If so, then how can we, who have been freed from sin, death, and judgment of the law, celebrate his birth? We can do so by wholly entrusting ourselves to him so that he who is present within us can be our master in name and in actuality. It is to become his pathway by following his guidance in walking his way by which his love and life can be sent into the world. At the time, regardless of how trivial of an existence we may be. His words of life, love, and power will come to have flesh, and each day of our lives will become the Christmas of hope that brightens this dark world. Because He who is in the midst of us now is the omnipotent God, Emmanuel, who created the heaven and earth and who came into our lives in order to be with us always. Let's pray. We thank you that God, Emmanuel, has come into the history of man and before all have become present in each of our individual lives. We thank you that by paying the price for our sins on the cross, before all, God has saved us. Thank you that before all, you became our Savior for us, who is but trifling before you, and furthermore, who has no works to speak of. Before all, you have first freed us from sin, death, and the judgment of the law. Thank you that you have led us in person to the road of life, the road of redemption, the eternal road that God has made with the blood of the cross. Today, as we come upon Christmas, which commemorates the coming of God Emmanuel through Mary's body, we wholly give ourselves to the Lord, who is already present within us. We give our hands and feet to the Lord. We give our eyes and ears to the Lord. We give our hearts and souls to the Lord. Allow us to become the pathway of the Lord, which sends forth to the world the love and life of our Lord. May the words of love, life, and power of our Lord take flesh through each of our actions. May our lives lived in such a way become Christmas that gives light to and purifies this world each day. We pray in the name of Jesus, who is present among us, in order to be with us always. Amen.